Amen. Can we give God a great big shout of praise? We love you, Lord. You can have a seat. You know, would you just turn to a couple people and say hello, welcome them to church, because this is the thing. We're a fellowship of believers. If you're at home, we're so glad you're with us today. Welcome. There's a reason we gather together, right? It's to encourage ourselves in the Lord. The body of Christ is beautiful. And God calls her the bride. And our bridegroom king is King Jesus, and he will return. Amen? Amen. I have a word for you today. I believe it's straight from the heart of God. I want to tell you that there is more. There is more in this beautiful King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look at this beautiful picture. It's boundless. If we're stagnant, we need to invite the Lord, show me a new side of your face. Let me not forget to tremble at who you are, at what you've done. In that same song, it's called Endless Ocean. It's by Jonathan Helser. And it says, you are an endless ocean, a bottomless sea. There's no end to the affection that you have for me. I can't help myself. You know I lead worship here normally. And then there's a verse that says, all of the angels, they keep swimming, and they still have found no shore. The day and night, night and day, they keep seeing new sides of your face. You are an endless ocean. I wonder today, are you ready to receive the more of what Jesus has for you? Because I believe that there is more in this hour for us to assert and ascertain. Amen? There is more in you, Lord. Well, I want to first just start by saying happy birthday to Pastor Donna. Can we give it up for Pastor Donna, who hopefully is not watching? Her birthday was yesterday, and her daughter, Pastor Gary, and Pastor Donna's daughter, Lene, her birthday is today. How about that? I think that's so beautiful to have your baby girl the day after your birthday. I love my baby girl. And I have twin boys as well. I love them too. They're 13. My daughter's 11. And I have a wonderful husband, Dan. This is beside the point. I want to say happy birthday, Pastor Donna. Happy birthday, Lene. And I also want to say happy birthday to Liane, whose birthday is on the 4th, just in a couple of days. So it's a birthday celebration. And I want to say I'm so blessed and honored to be here so that Pastor Gary and them all can celebrate properly. But it is such an honor to teach in this house, because this house has, the revelation in this house has transformed me. Is there anybody else? I mean, I didn't know. I have been in full-time ministry for 25 years, and I did not know. I did not know. I think that's just all I have to say. I didn't know. And we're going to go somewhere today, but I want us to start by catching us up. Because like you, my mind has been blown. I am getting revelation out of revelation based on the word of God, what it says and what it doesn't. And the beautiful message that Pastor Gary possesses, that he releases to all of us, the revelation, the communion he has with the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so very grateful. A few of the things, you're going to love these, and I'm not going to unpack them, but they're going to take us to where we are today and let you know a little bit about why I'm talking about this, because it's beautiful. We have been in a beautiful season together as the body of Christ, and we've been united in the revelation that Pastor Gary has been bringing. It's a powerful, beautiful thing, and if you're watching online, that's you too. You watch this religiously, probably just like me, when I don't get to be here. But the first thing that just, I think, is so foundational that's started the tweaking of my very human brain was, okay, sure, the devil's real. There are demons. But he is created by the uncreated one. And this, if you haven't heard this message from Pastor Prophet Gary Zamora, I want to encourage you to go find it on YouTube, because it will transform you. Now I can't unsee it. You know, I travel to churches and love the bride of Christ, but I think in this hour, I believe in this hour, just like Pastor Gary, that we give the devil too much credit. And the truth of the matter is that the uncreated one is more powerful than any devil or demon. Amen? And oftentimes, if we can really understand the truth of this. I'm not saying it's not real, but the devil is not omnipresent. The devil is not omniscient. And I'm going to stop using his name because I don't want to give him any more focus. But a lot of the times, we're dealing with our carnal, unrenewed mind. And we're giving credit and idolizing something that shouldn't be having any of our focus in our services. We should be focusing on the triune God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, constantly moving, and there is more in him. Okay, that's the first one. You can give it up for that, because that's a good word that got me shook, and it keeps getting me shook. Okay, the second thing is, we've been talking about nothingness and how nothing is something. Nothing is something. In fact, nothing is the only place where faith can be birthed. Nothing is something. And what pleases God? What do we know that pleases God? Faith. Living by faith, which I love the Amplified Translation, talks about faith as believing what your five senses don't tell you. Taste, touch, hear, see, smell. Believing what the five senses don't say, this is what the building blocks of our faith are supposed to do. We're supposed to build things by faith, communing with you, Jesus, with you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hearing you, communing with you in our prayer time, in our secret place, like it talks about in Matthew 6, listening to what you're asking us to do and how you want us to build, because faith without works is dead, amen? How you want us to take steps in you, that nothingness is something. So when we think about offering our bodies as living sacrifices, yielding not my will, but your will, Jesus, right? Not my will, but your will. That this is the language of passion. This is a language of love. This is not a language of, agenda. This is lovesick. This is relational. And Jesus did it first. He sat in the Garden of Gethsemane, grieved, distraught, crying tears of blood. And he said, Lord God, Father in heaven, may this cup pass before me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And I love what Pastor Gary said a couple weeks ago. There was no power in heaven or on earth that could take Jesus to the cross, because he is all powerful. So in that moment, he surrendered his life. He surrendered his own life. And then they came to him and they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am he. And they fell out. This is the Jesus, the God we serve. The nothingness, the emptiness, the laying down of our lives is where we begin to have real, true life. Amen? The emptiness, the nothingness. There is more. There is more in God. But it comes with a surrendering, a laying down, an emptying out. Amen? Okay, the last one. I want to talk about, the kingdom of God is at hand, which means it's within our grasp, which we know is the whole thing about this ministry. Pulling on heaven 24/7. That's what these ropes represent, right? Pulling on heaven 24/7. Jesus said this, go out into all the world and preach this. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, which means it's in our grasp. The kingdom of heaven is not here or there. It's in us and in our grasp. There is more in God. There is more in Jesus. There is more in Christ. There is more for us. And I believe we're in such an hour. There's so many things happening on the earth. News reports, gloom and doom, earthquakes, war, famine, so many horrible things that were prophesied would be the noise of the day. But there is such an ecclesia, a bride, a church that Jesus sent out and said, preach this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, the last thing. The wind. We've been talking about let the wind blow. And if you haven't listened to that message, and then we'll jump into a few key things, and then we're going to sing a song. Is that okay? You're going to sing an original song I think you're going to really love. But let the wind blow is a message that Pastor Gary did a few weeks ago, and it just, so here I am thinking about the wind. And the thing he talked about was, you know, the wind has a will. The Bible tells us the wind goes where it wills. And then we know, just like this beautiful picture of the ocean, that there are these things that happen on the earth that God created that are a shadow of a heavenly reality. So we can assess some things about the Spirit of the living God. We read in Acts chapter 2 that the Spirit of God was released on the earth and it came in like a mighty rushing wind. And everyone was baptized in fire in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And it was massive, just like Jesus promised it would. The wind of the Holy Spirit blows. And we know in the natural that when there is a stagnant air that begins to heat up and it rises, and then a low pressure system gets sucked in like a vacuum, and this is what creates wind. And I'm not going to get into that message. Listen to it on your own. But right after that message a few weeks ago, I went up to Pastor Gary and I began to talk to him about this. I could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit tweaking my mind again, like he so often does in this place. And one of the things he said in that message is you can cooperate with the wind. There is a way for us as sons and daughters of the living God to be grafted in, to be in full communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit by the torn veil of the blood of Jesus. He made a way for us to be face to face with the Father. Wow. I mean, that's really exciting and massive, right? You feel like you could just like burst out of your seat when you think about that. There's a way to cooperate with that. And I don't know about you, but I want to know, what does my life look like cooperating with the Holy Spirit? So I came up here and I talked to Pastor Gary about this message about let the wind blow. What do you mean we can cooperate? And he said this, you know, Michelle, there was something called the sound barrier. Well, what's interesting about the sound barrier is the sound barrier was something that was a man-made idea. We decided in our humanness that we couldn't break the sound barrier, and it was impossible until we learned to cooperate with the high and low pressure and go with the wind. And we created planes, humankind created planes that broke the sound barrier. And then I think about the bumblebee. I don't know if anybody's heard this, but I actually had a dream about this a few weeks ago, and I was with some people, and we were talking about how bumblebees aren't supposed to fly. Have you guys heard that? Bumblebees are not supposed to fly because of the size of their wings versus the size of their body. Well, I woke up from the stream thinking, what is this about? And the Lord said, what man thinks is impossible is possible with me. There is more. Well, then I did a little deep dive on YouTube about the physics of bumblebees being able to fly. And do you know what? That's actually a fallacy. Physicists know exactly how a bee flies. They have wings that rotate and move and know how to resist and flow with the high and low pressure and navigate the wind. And I just thought that was so beautiful. Well, then I've been thinking about a hummingbird and how hummingbirds are just my favorite bird. Anybody like hummingbirds here? Just think they're incredible. There's a few things about hummingbirds that are really amazing because for me, you know, they're always kind of stuck out to me, but I've just really realized why recently. I am learning. We should be so hungry to learn the ways of the kingdom, how the Spirit of God works, and how we can cooperate with it. Amen? With him. The Spirit of the living God is a person. Let's just get that very clear. The Spirit of the living God is a person. And we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I wonder, have I grieved Holy Spirit? Have I stopped the activity of Holy Spirit? Do I know how to cooperate with you, Holy Spirit? Am I listening to what you have to say, Holy Spirit? Am I driven by love like you, Holy Spirit? When I walk into a room or on a street or into a coffee shop, do I see and stop for the one like you would, Holy Spirit? And the reason I love a hummingbird is because there's this unique ability that a hummingbird has to cooperate with the high and low pressure and the wind. And there's something about the activity of a hummingbird that is unlike any other bird. A few things about hummingbirds. They know how to cooperate with the wind. But here's another thing. They spend the majority of their time resting. And I think we can ascertain something about that. Are we operating from a place of rest with the Lord? Or are we striving? We're trying to figure it out. Or I love Watchman Nee wrote a book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And it's about first sitting in the presence of God. First sitting in the presence of God, understanding who we are in Him and His love for us and letting us be wrecked by Him. And then we walk with the understanding that He's for you, He's for you, He's for you. And I want to say, I like Pastor Gary, I sense this really, really heavy right now. I am prophesying a word if you will receive the word. Amen. And I want to say He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Amen. And if there's any doubt in your mind that He is not for you, I want you to sit in the fact that He is for you. 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 The one thing about this God that is so different than any other idols that are worshipped is that God pursues His people. He pursued His people by sending Jesus. He continues to pursue His people by sending us, by sending you, right? Because it's not I who lives. I died. I put myself on the altar. But it's Christ who lives in me. And the Bible calls us ministers of reconciliation. So driven by love, present with the Holy Spirit, cooperating with Him means that I stop for the one, that I see the way He sees, and I'm curious how to be friends with Him. Okay, so the other thing about hummingbirds is they're constantly feeding while in flight. So they consume about twice their body weight, and they're the only bird that can fly backwards, by the way. Their feet are not for walking. They're only to perch. And they can move like left and right. But they're made to fly. And I just feel like that's a word for us. You were made to fly. And you were never meant to do your activity in your day without constantly feeding on the presence, on the bread of life, who is Jesus. Amen. So what have we decided is impossible, but with God is absolutely possible? And because of this life lived with Christ, our spirit man communing with the Spirit of the living God, what are we not accessing? But there is more. There is more. Come on, say it. There is more. Say it again. There is more. Come on, get the lead out of your spirit and say, there is more. There is more in Him. There is more in Him. Thank you, Jesus. There is more in you. What's the more you want to show us? What's the more? We're going to kind of end with this. It's Acts chapter 3. And if you're familiar with Acts chapter 3, it's titled in my Bible, The Gate Called Beautiful. I'm going to read the Passion Translation, and I won't read all of it. Just going to read a portion of it. We're going to end with this. It says, one afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer. So I just want to first point out, why would they go to the 3 o'clock prayer? So this is after Jesus. They were friends with Him. They did ministry with Him. They walked with Him. They have history with Him. They were heartbroken by what happened to Him. And then He revealed Himself and sat with them and ate with them after He rose from the dead, before He ascended. Like, they saw it. They gave their lives for this. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Yet they're going to a temple to do their 3 o'clock prayer. You better believe they were aware that there is more. They were aware that Jesus was the Messiah that was prophesied about. They walked in there aware, communing with the presence of the Holy Spirit that was just released to them the previous chapter. And they knew there was more. Okay, so that's the first one. Then verse 2, as they came to the entrance of the beautiful gate, they were captured by the sight. So they were captured by the sight. Why were they captured? They were captured because they were communing with the Spirit of the living God. And he pointed out a man sitting at the gate. They were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth, being carried and placed at the entrance of the temple. He was often brought there to beg for money from those going in to worship. When he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Verse 4, Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, "Look at us. Look at us." Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. So he looked back at them. Then Peter said, "I don't have money, but I'll give you this, the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. The power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." Verse 7, Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly power surged into his crippled feet and ankles. The power surged. The power of the Holy Spirit can just surge in a moment. I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about how to work with the Holy Spirit, the man, how to work with Holy Spirit, the person, Jesus, the man, that this is what the Spirit of the living God does. It surges. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. Into his crippled feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment, stunned, and then began to walk around. And he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, and he leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was the crippled beggar they had passed by in front of the gate called Beautiful. Astonishment swept over them, over the crowd, for they were amazed what had happened to him. And then Peter begins to preach to the crowd. Verse 11, dumbfounded over what they were witnessing, the crowd ran over to Peter and John, who were standing under the covered walkway called Solomon's Porch. Standing there also was the healed beggar clinging to Peter and John. With the crowd surrounding him, Peter said to them, "People of Israel, listen to me. Why are you so amazed by this healing? Why do you stare at us? We didn't make this crippled man walk by our own power and authority." And they began to preach and introduce this crowd to Jesus. And they began to share that they too once didn't recognize Jesus. I mean, think about this. This is Peter. Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. It was prophesied to him that he would. And he said, no, you don't understand. I love Jesus. I won't deny him. But before the crow crowed, he denied Jesus 3 times. I wonder if you're like me and you wonder, what audacity would I have to go out into the world and think I could host the presence of the Holy Spirit and introduce people to the "there is more" of Jesus because of what I have done to betray and hurt the heart of my Father. But that's not the end of the story for Peter. We read in John chapter 21 that he was heartbroken and Peter was out in the boat and Jesus appeared to them on the shore and they didn't know who it was. And he said, "Hey, you caught anything?" And they said, "No." And he said, "Put your net on the other side." And they did. And I think it's counted 153 fish. They couldn't even bring it into the boat. And they come to the shore. Then he realizes it's Jesus. And he jumps into the water and swims to him. The resurrected Messiah, who Peter denied, came to Peter and said, "Here I am." And then what did he do? If you remember this passage of scripture, he said, "Do you love me?" As they're eating breakfast, "Do you love me, Peter?" And he said, "You know I do." And 3 times he asks him, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Feed my sheep. Do you love me again? Care for my sheep. Do you love me again? Love my sheep, Peter." 3 times, and it was covered, and it was a done deal. So when we think about this moment at the gate called Beautiful, this is the experience of John and Peter. I want to read this footnote because it's going to tie all right back into another thing that our Pastor Gary talks about. He says, "This is the greatest season of your life." First time I heard that, I was like, doesn't feel that great. I need you to unpack that a little bit. But this is the greatest season of your life. Why? Because God is great and God is with me. And then the other one that he says, only good can happen to me because God is good. I got to be on Pastor Gary's podcast, and we had just started to walk through our dear friend's loss of their 15-year-old son from stage 4 cancer, who was my twin boy's best friend. And that was the beginning of this year. And I sat with Pastor Gary and I said, How does only good happen? And I wonder if that's something you ask too. How does only good happen? And it's so important that we don't build a theology around the things, the bad things that happen to us, the bad things that we perceive are happening to us, and forget that God is good and that sometimes there is great mystery, that this is not the end of the story, that there is a great big God who pursued humanity and his creation by sending his son Jesus, who laid down his life and took the mercy seat and made a way for us to be face to face with the Father. Only good can happen. And it's not the end of the story. We will see that little boy again. Because although he wasn't healed on this side of eternity, and we contended for it, because sickness is not from the Lord. There's no sickness in heaven. So if you ever wonder if you should pray for healing, pray for healing. Even if it doesn't you don't know if it's going to happen, you still pray for it because that's the goodness and the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes we have to be okay with not knowing and not build a theology around that. Amen? Amen. But instead say, I can be okay, Lord, in the mystery of not understanding fully and completely because you are God and you are good. And here's what I want to read to you in the footnotes of the gate called Beautiful. It says in the footnotes of the Passion Translation, the gate called Wonderful in Aramaic. It is difficult to ascertain which of the many gates of the temple this might have been. And there is varying speculation with no certain conclusion. However, the beautiful gate points to Jesus Christ, who is the gate or entrance into the sheepfold of God. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he's called the door. Jesus becomes the door into our entrance to eternity. Amen? So the gate points to Jesus, who is the gate or entrance in the sheepfold of God. Furthermore, it hints of Ezekiel's temple, Ezekiel 47, which is a flowing river out from the threshold through the gateway of the temple. This river was first measured ankle deep. So in this story, this man, lame in his ankles, was healed by the spiritual river that flowed out of the beautiful gate. This whole story is a prophetic indication of what God was doing. The gateway opened up and the river poured out of Peter and John, bringing healing to the lame. There is more. There is more. The Strong Concordance talks about beautiful. And what does beautiful mean in this scripture? And the word is heraios, that which is seasonable and produced at the right time, as of the prime of your life, or the time when anything is at its loveliest. And the best, hora is the other Greek word, a season, a period fixed by natural laws and revolutions, and so the best season of the year. This is the gate called beautiful. Why is this the greatest season of my life? Because Jesus has made it beautiful. in all seasons. And in Ezekiel 47, it talks about this river that is first measured ankle deep and then knee deep and then waist deep and then over its head, that trees gather around it. And we are referred to as oaks of righteousness. And our roots, our spiritual roots, go into this river of life that flows from the throne room of heaven. And it produces fruit in every season. And its leaves provide healing for the nations. There is more. There is more. So I wonder, are you experiencing the more? You know, this paralytic came to the gate called Beautiful for alms. He did this daily. But on this day, at this gate called Beautiful, he met two disciples of Jesus who were witnesses to everything he had done. They were ruined and wrecked for the rest of their lives. You know, every disciple was a martyr for the message of Jesus. And Jesus called Peter, "You are now Peter, Simon. And on this rock, I will build my church." This revelation, this eyewitness account to this beautiful man, Jesus, drove them to share with everyone. They were open gates because it wasn't them who lived, it was Jesus who lived in them. Amen? And he was a gate that swung open wide, ministers of reconciliation, and the Spirit of the living God flowed through and out of them. And this is how this man was supernaturally healed. But this man came for alms. But what did he get? He got more than he came for. And I wonder what you came for here today. What are you coming to the Lord for? Maybe you're believing for something in your life. Maybe you're believing for a breakthrough, finances, a situation that you've been praying for. But I want to encourage you that there is more. There is more than even what you came for in Christ. So come and get more than you came for. Come to the rivers of living water and receive more than you even came for. So we're going to end with this, and I want to just invite Zeal and Devon to come up, and they're going to sing a song that we wrote. So some of you may not know, but my husband and I, we have a worship collective, a ministry for the nations. I'll just say that. And we've been thinking about this subject of the more. And the reason we started thinking about it was because at the beginning of this year, I went to a place to just get refreshed. It was a conference, and such a beautiful time in the presence of God. And we were being led into the throne room by the worship team. And I'm a worship leader, so I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes I can get familiar. Sometimes I can get familiar and be like, oh, I have history with this song, or I've never heard that song before, I wonder. And then I can tune out. And we just lingered in the presence of the Lord. And these worship leaders and musicians were just pushing more. There's more. There's more. And I could feel like a block. I could feel a block. And the Lord began to show me a picture of the well that he's placed inside of me. Do you know that each one of us has a well that God's placed inside of us? When we made Jesus our Savior, he places a well inside of you that is meant to spring up a well. Have you heard that? Spring up a well, river of living water, that it would may shoot out and over and just like get everybody wet. Have you ever been to SeaWorld and been to like, you know, the Shamu exhibit? I'm dating myself, but like the orcas, and they, hopefully we're not doing that anymore, but they would whack on the water and just like with the splash. And if you're in the first six rows, you're just like covered. There's this old song, "I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens a prison's door, set the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, splish, splash." This is the well of which I speak. And the Lord began to show me, I placed a well inside of you, Michelle. And I want to show you the condition of this well. And he began to show him, maybe you don't even know that you had a well, but so you know you have a supernatural well. And from that well is meant to flow the rivers of living water that flow from under the throne of heaven. And it's meant to bring you refreshment. And it's meant to spring up and out. Some of the things that hinder the well: familiarity, forgetting to tremble in the presence of the Almighty God. Unforgiveness. Jesus commands us to forgive. He says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. I don't know about you, but that's a sobering thought. And really, if we boil that down, if we have received forgiveness, who are we to not extend forgiveness? Do you know there's no word in the Bible called unforgiveness? Do you know what the Bible calls it? A bitter root. So if we are oaks of righteousness meant to be planted near the river of God, drawing up the river of life as our sustenance, and our roots are bitter, what happens to our fruit? What happens to our leaves? They're bitter, they're poisoned. This is what happens when we allow a bitter root. So maybe for you, it's the Lord's bringing you something to show you, I gotta forgive, I gotta let go. You know, it sounds cliche, but it's true. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Who do you need to forgive? So we're going to sing this song, and you can, why don't you stand to your feet? It's going to be easy for you to catch on. But what happened in this moment as I was in this worship moment, and though I realized the well, looking at the well, I realized it was covered with dirt. It was covered with loose dirt, but it was covered nonetheless. And the Lord was encouraging me to press in deeper, to press in deeper to who he was and who he is, and believe for the more. Amen? And that's what we're going to do right now. So let's sing this song.